is recognizing that really the view I'm presenting here may just be my presentation, may just be because of what I know. There could be other things I don't know. There could be things that I have never known of. Einstein says that knowledge is in three domains. He says 15% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you know. He says another 15% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you don't know. So you know that you know the things you can do. You know you can do forest trading. You know you can do other things you are trained to do. And then you know that also the other 15% is you know that you don't know. Maybe you know you can't operate on somebody because you're not a doctor. You know you can't fly an aeroplane because you're not a pilot. You know the things you cannot do. And he says that 70% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you don't know that you don't know. So there are a lot of things there that you may not know. And if you're not open to that knowledge with facts, with somebody coming with maybe lived experience or facts, then you see that you are shortchanging yourself. Okay to not be okay. Even the construct is a bit interesting. All right. What comes to mind? I need to hear our views on that. It's okay to not be okay. Because these are some of the benefits of emotional intelligence, which is why it's such a relevant area. And this is not to judge anyone. Or to expose any views or ignorance, or not at all. It's just having an open, honest discussion based on life, lived experiences, and also the type of things we want to communicate, or the things we teach when we teach emotional intelligence, which is really a life of purpose, a life of life by design, designing the life you want to live. Because when some of these things do reinforce the way we have always done things, and we see that we have a wealth of studies, materials to on each side. That's why I think it's a very interesting topic. There are concepts that people use or interventions that people use, but it's important that people do some of these things consciously, because when you see a phrase like this, if there's no context to it, there's no depth to it, people may just make their own assumptions, and they may not know that there's something they can do, or there's a way they can be helped in certain issues or certain challenges or certain behavior. Harvard Business Review article that has generated some discussion, which I want us to also continue in that concept, in that understanding. So when we hear it's okay not to be okay, or it's okay to not be okay, what comes to mind? And then what's our lived experience? And then some of us are professionals here that have been working with people, who have life experience, we have experience of working with people. How do we contribute, and particularly having added the views of the author of this article? Okay, there are a lot of myths people present as emotional intelligence, or people used to criticize the this body of knowledge of emotional intelligence, that maybe emotional intelligence is something like, when people say things like that, I know that maybe they have not really studied there or had any sort of in-depth study into the subject or topic, really. Because emotional intelligence is not avoiding the emotion, it's not acknowledging the emotion, but if anything, really, that's where it starts. You need to acknowledge it. So that is very important, and which is why when we talk about things like toxic positivity, false positivity, all of those things, definitely they exist, and that's why people need emotional literacy, like that Harry puts it. Yeah, so emotional literacy is very important, but sadly, that's one area people don't get educated. People may have people may be very educated academically, but they still lacking this. They are still emotionally, illiterate, which is very challenging. That's why we have some of the challenges we have in terms of toxic work environment. If you also check in the corporate or LinkedIn, you may have seen things. In fact, actually, since after COVID, Yeah, it started with what we call great resignations, where people were, resigning their jobs to align with what they really, stand for, which is really part of emotional intelligence, recognizing where, because in emotional intelligence, we start from values, meaning. So something, having a job that has meaning for you, that has a purpose, you have that calling to do. Right. So we've talked with the from COVID time, we saw great resignations, and now and still continue, we are seeing what we call quiet quitting. Quiet quitting is the idea that people go to work just maybe for the paycheck. They go there, do the basic minimum, right? And then not do no excitement, no inspiration, no motivation, just go and do the barest minimum, get the paycheck and go back. And a lot of discussions I've had around there centered on blaming managers, which has its own part. People are blaming managers for people who are quiet quitting. But from my position as an emotional intelligence coach and career coach, definitely if you're in that position where somebody is still controlling you, are maybe staying in a place or not staying in a place, I don't think you have really done well for yourself, in the sense of investing in yourself and knowing your rights, because that's one of those things. Emotional intelligence helps you to, it gives you that level of boldness to know when to move, where to stay, and where not to stay. So those things are things that come with emotional literacy, like we have had someone express it that way here. A lot of issues that are presented between individuals is when people are fixed in their own ways. In conversational intelligence, we call it going up the ladder of assumption. When you believe something is in a particular way, then that's the only thing you say. You are not open to any other view. In fact, in conversational intelligence, we have three levels of conversation. We have the transactional level. Yeah, which is the level where, you ask somebody one simple question, they respond, are you home today? Yes. Are you going out? Yes. We're speaking just transactional. All of us know what that means. So transactional level, and which is maybe for some relationship, that's the level where they are. Then you have positional level, where people are trying to get you to their own side of the argument, their own view, which is maybe what some of we professionals do when you are very convinced about your own idea and you want to, the other person to buy your own idea. Educated people, that's what we do. So, and when it comes to conflict, that's the mindset with which a lot of us enter into conflict, because each person have their own conviction. And we present that. And the only thing we are willing to, do is to get the other person to buy our own view. But that's the second level. But in conversational intelligence, we have the third level, which we call transformational, conversation, where you present your view and you're open to any other view that may, have validity, has facts, has, a lot of substance to it. But a lot of people are not in that mindset. They have not developed to have that conversation. Even ordinary conversation, if you can get two adults to have, open conversation where they are willing to accept, a reason, accept reason, not fixed on their own position, definitely a conflict will be easily resolved. But it starts with awareness. It's recognizing that really the view I'm presenting here may just be my presentation, may just be because of what I know. There could be other things I don't know. There could be things that I've never known of. Einstein says that knowledge is in three domains. He says 15% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you know. He says another 15% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you don't know. So you know that you know the things you can do. You know you can do forest trading. You know you can do other things you are trained to do. And then you know that also the other 15% is you know that you don't know. Maybe you know you can't operate on somebody because you're not a doctor. You know you can't fly an aeroplane because you're not a pilot. You know the things you cannot do. And he says that 70% of knowledge is in the domain of you know that you don't know that you don't know. So there are a lot of things there that you may not know. And if you're not open to that knowledge with facts, with somebody coming with maybe lived experience or facts, then you see that you are shortchanging yourself. Google did some studies some years ago, what they call Project Oxygen, where they were talking about the impact of managers in the life of people who work for an organization, which we say that people leave bad managers, they don't leave organization. Yeah, there can be that level, but there can be another level where if you're emotionally intelligent, you have invested in yourself, you can manage things, you can take actions, you know when to move, you know when you are being tolerated or when a situation is no longer favorable for you. You should notice a toxic environment. Why should you expose yourself to a toxic environment when you are an adult? Right, so those are the type of literacy, emotional literacy we want people to have so that they can make, you know, informed choices based on the where they are. One of the reasons some people will never be happy or never happy at work, what we call disruptive emotion. Yeah, you are not happy, and then you take it out, you respond in a way that is harmful to yourself and others, really. That's with disruptive emotion. Somebody wrote on that too. Four reasons why, you know, people are maybe never happy at work: disruptive emotion, a value mismatch, lack of self-efficacy, and some other reasons, right? All these things are things we see, and this is why some of these things, you know, they're so important. And it goes back to level of maturity, making a conscious choice. What life do you want to live? You know, when I see statements like this, right? Where we say it's okay to not be okay. That's it's a very blanket statement for me. And based on people's level of emotional literacy, maturity, they may give it a level of interpretation. Okay, their own interpretation. One, somebody may see something like this and believe that, okay, when I'm angry, right, I can, you know, do, like somebody was having a lengthy discussion with me on this yesterday. He says, okay, what you have learned over the years or your experience is that when you are angry, you're violent, you speak to people rudely, you are disruptive, you don't respect people, or it harms you, or it takes so long for you to get over it or come out of that level of emotion. Is that really what you want? Okay, so when we say it's okay to be okay, that could be somebody's okay to be okay not to be okay. Okay, so for me, I'll be asking in a situation like this, when we say it's okay not to be okay, what's this person's experience? Is it that this person, okay, whatever your experience is, it's okay? Because a lot of us, the way we express our emotion today is based on learned behavior, right? What we were taught, you know, growing up, what we have done over the years. So, and people don't know that really, even things that annoy you, you can train yourself such that they don't have that level of provocation. Yeah, I will come to that, which is some of the things we teach here in emotional intelligence. What I'm concerned about here is when people have been brought up with, disruptive emotions that we don't even say emotions are negative in the sense that every emotion is valuable. That's one thing. You recognize the emotion. They are valuable. Emotion is not positive or negative or good or bad. We don't give that level of nomenclature, but we know that there are ones that maybe if you don't give them attention, they can cause you to do, some damage or harm, or will not be good for you. But particularly also the impact they have on you, because certain emotions, trigger certain chemicals, cortisol in the body, yeah, adrenaline. So it's not supposed to be there for long. Those things are supposed to be, short boost of energy or support. But when you are there for long, it begins to cause damage, health issues, health problems. So when we are saying things like this, and you have lived a particular way, you just think, oh, that's okay. That's my only challenge with something like this. So it has to have more content to it. People have to understand that really we can manage ourselves, and from a place of purpose, a place of understanding, a place of choice, really. Because if what you are doing now is giving you a level of happiness, look at the definition again, what Libby wrote as definition of emotional intelligence, right? She says EQ simply is blending thinking, and feeling to make optimal decisions that impact your effectiveness. Yeah. So this mood you are, that you, it's, you know, we are telling you it's okay. Is it bringing your effectiveness? Is it creating a level of effectiveness in your performance? Is it helping you make optimal decisions? Right? Is it helping you build good relationships? Is it impacting your, you know, positively impacting your well-being? Is it making you happy? Happiness is one of the biggest ones also we are seeing recently, because we see that when somebody is not happy, it's difficult for them to perform at their best. Even when we talk about engagement in the offices, somebody may be engaged and not happy. But if somebody is happy, they are highly likely to be engaged. Okay, so all these things are the type of things we want to help people know, because if people are emotionally illiterate, you hear things like this, you may give it your own interpretation, and they believe it is okay too, that when you are angry, right, you stay angry. Depending on us now, our life experience, some people may be angry, the way you do it, you'll be angry for days. Yeah, what damage have you caused to your body and the people around you for these 3 days of anger? Somebody may be angry and then you burst out in, you know, doing certain things around. Is that what you want? Okay, so that's my first issue with that statement. It's too, you know, blanket, that people is subject to individual, and it to help people who have not managed their emotion, who have not had this opportunity of gaining some emotional literacy, to say, okay, life, I'm fine the way I am, and not knowing that little, just simple self-awareness can help them improve a little bit, or very much can transform their life entirely. So for me, that's one. And two, right, the idea of emotional intelligence is life with purpose, life with meaning. We in emotional intelligence, we don't teach that people shouldn't recognize their emotion, not at all. That's where we start, really, because when you're teaching emotional intelligence is, you know, framework, the general framework we use for emotional intelligence is four quadrants. The self-awareness, right, which is where we teach a lot of things on self-awareness. Self-awareness, you can teach it for a whole year, because the more you know on that area, you want to know more. There are books on self-awareness. Tasha Urik wrote that powerful book on insight, which is all about self-awareness. Okay, so much you can do on that. Then you have the second part, which is really where I see this thing coming. Where it is it okay not to be, it's okay to not be okay, which is what we call self-management. Emotional intelligence, as in fact people call it soft skill, because they believe it is, you know, one of those easy things. Americans say it's things that have some nice, sounds very nice, but maybe doesn't have any substance to it, really. But it's not, because you see that it's one of those skills. It looks easy but difficult. That's where what we say soft can be. This is where soft becomes hard, because as simple as it is, a lot of people find it difficult to do. Habit is one of those difficult things to change. It's painful because people don't find it easy. That's why even in corporate settings, managers may want to hire you to come and teach their people, but they don't want to be involved, which makes it difficult, because if you don't want to learn and change, then you just come and teach my people. It doesn't work that way. You may need to model what you want your people to learn. Right, so for us individuals, I don't know why it's painful, I can't even explain it, but it's one of those, behavior is one of those areas, and which is why even in hiring today, a lot of organizations are giving attention to, you know, soft skills or behavioral skills, because they know that it may be easier to teach you technical skills, teach you how to operate a machine or do whatever you do, but when it comes to behavior, one, if that person is not willing to change that, it's difficult. There's nothing you can do about it, right? And two, it may take a long time. So there are a lot of issues about some of these things, and that's why people need to know. So what I'm saying this is, when you have lived in a certain way, you are angry, you behave a particular way. For you, that's the way, that, and the brain that's the way the brain likes to function. You know, autopilot, something happens, you act the way you have always acted, until you make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to. In fact, when you have made that decision, you still need to consciously enforce it. So things like this, like you're angry, you scatter things, or you're angry, you lash out. That's the way. And when you hear said statements like this, it reinforces that behavior. But let's come to reality of our time, or, you know, your own life. What do you really want? Because in emotional intelligence, we start with, there are two sides to this. Yeah. So on the technical side of this topic, right, the professional side, which is where I'm coming from, there are two views on this. Either you can approach it from the studies of or work of people like Viktor Frankl, who founded Logotherapy, where he talks about that, right? Anything can be taken away from a man, right? But they want lack of human freedoms. You are right to choose how you want to respond to anything that is done from you, which is really the concept a lot of us teach, which is the concept of emotional intelligence, that really every one of us can train ourselves so that we can choose an action that corresponds to our long-term benefit, our happiness, whatever our values are, right? So, and that's why when you're teaching, emotional intelligence, you start with defining self-awareness, defining what there are some things we call pillars of, self-awareness, things like your values, the things you're good at, your vision, your goals, your motivations, all of those things. But values are very important ones, because when you have to make decisions based on your values, then you begin to make decisions that that will be impactful for your future, decisions that will make you a happy person. For instance, if you say happiness is one of my key values, which I think it should be for everyone, then you may need to walk away from certain things. You don't need to respond like every other person who doesn't give that level of importance to happiness. I see a lot of people, they say, oh, happiness is one of my core values. But very little provocation. Somebody cuts them off on the traffic, they are angry. Somebody wants to get in front of them, they are struggling. Why do you want to cause yourself, unhappiness by little? And some of these things, you can be trained on how to manage it. Right, so I'm saying two perspectives on this. Right, you can come from the perspective of you can control your emotion, which is the concept of emotional intelligence. Because on the second quadrant of emotional intelligence, we talk about what we call self-management. And when we talk about self-management, we talk about two particular areas: behavioral self-management and emotional, emotional self-regulation. Right, emotional self-regulation is how you can train yourself, right, so that the things that may annoy you, people that annoy you, may no longer bring that level of annoyance, because now you can create what we call charity of interpretation. You can create stories, right? Daniel Goldman in his books wrote a bit of things that people can benefit on this. Marsha Rosenberg in his book Nonviolent Communication wrote a lot of things on things like this. There are a lot of materials out there, but those two concepts, first of all, that you can manage, you can train yourself so that you can choose how you want to respond, right? Viktor Frankl puts it this way, says between stimulus and response there is a space. Yeah, and in that space is your power to choose your response, and in your response lies your freedom and your growth. Okay, that's the way Viktor Frankl. So that's the idea. That's one concept of training yourself on how to recognize or manage your emotion. The concept of I can regulate emotion. I was in a training. Yes, I do like the training for some of these things. And why I'm bold about these things, because I've seen it work in various places. I've seen people who have had opportunity of working with people who spent several years in prison. And I've had their stories. Yeah, people can change when they want to. So somebody who spent about 23 years in prison, and I was doing some work with them, and then he was saying that before he went to prison, he didn't know that he has the opportunity not to respond in a violent way. That that wasn't his upbringing. He didn't know that he could choose, or somebody can be angry with him or insulting to him, and he walks away. He said, well, definitely that's all that. Yes, he had to learn that after 20 how many years in prison. That's one of the things, some of the things. So when I'm saying about talking about these things, I'm talking about it based on several years of experience, both on people who are successful who are in the professional world, who are successful, and people also who may think that maybe made certain mistakes. I've seen someone who, came out of, how many years, 20, almost 30 years in prison, and he just, transformed. And they were trying to say, it's a dual personality or something like that. He was saying no. His type of license condition is such that if somebody complained that his attitude towards them was aggressive, he could be put back in prison. He doesn't want to go back to prison. So he has to fix himself. He has to walk away from trouble. right? So and so these are, you know, lived experience, people's experiences, and there you don't need to wait until there are restrictions for you to be able to comply. This is the trainings we can give. But I want to touch on very important thing that Dairu brought about. The brain is life's automation, yeah, autopilot. When you wake up in the morning to go and brush your teeth, the brain doesn't think, am I going to use my left or right hand? No, if you have right-handed, you do it. And that's the same thing when we're talking about the conscious and subconscious mind. Right, the subconscious mind runs about 95% of the things that go on, and that's why for you to make any change of habit, you must have to use the conscious mind to override the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind. If not, the subconscious mind will do the things the way it has always been done. This thing, because you have done something, and that's where people get frustrated, because people want to change a habit, they want it to change now. Even after hearing me, it may not happen the one time, because the brain may still want to do it the same way it has always done it. But you have to persist. So the way you have done things over the 30, depending on how old you are, so 30 years of doing something in a particular way, or 20 years of doing something, or 40 years of doing something in a particular way, you just hear me talk about this possibility, and you just think everything will change immediately. Not exactly. But what I will say is, please try and watch something we call neuroplasticity, the science of neuroplasticity. The brain can be rewired irrespective of how old you are, how long you have done things. But it starts first of all from desire, awareness. That's why we're doing this, so that you know that, yes, that thing, if you desire it, you can do it. And then secondly, practice, right? Even if you don't get it the first time, you need to practice and practice. I tell people, particularly people who, like some of these people I work with, who had, were used to violent life, right? They believe they can, you know, do anything. Somebody who has been, maybe has lived a violent life, it's difficult for you to walk away from trouble, particularly when you know you have the strength and you have the ability to do a lot of damage or harm. So it's not easy for someone to confront you and you walk away. But what I tell people that I work with is to say, you see, there are decisions, even though Viktor Frankl says between stimulus and response, there is a space, right? And that space is your right. There are things you don't decide on the spot, right? You don't decide whether I'm going to respond if somebody slaps me on the road when you have received the slap. Some of those decisions you may need to make. That's why values are very important. So if somebody have said, I'm not going to live a violent life anymore, you make that decision. It's a part of your value. I need my freedom. So you want to maintain that. So when you go out and issues arise, that decision has already been made. So you don't need to be making, there's no space. Like when you are driving and somebody is cutting you off, it's not a place where it's not that time you're making decision whether to abuse them or it's a training. And that's why I'm thinking, as I was saying about the statement earlier on, that really, when people don't have the right training, some of those statements can be misleading. It can train you that certain things that annoy you may no longer cause you that level of annoyance because of the interpretation given. For instance, something like people cutting you off on the road when you are driving. Right, what happens is not because the person cut you off, it's just because of also what you are thinking. Does he think I'm not going anywhere? Does he think his car is faster than mine? Doesn't he see that there's a queue? All of those things. But if you stop that guy and you are told that, oh, he's running in, he's a surgeon, he needs to get to somewhere to save somebody's life, or he's told to get to the hospital because a family member is dying and he doesn't get there in 5 minutes or less, he will not meet that family member alive. It will change your perception of that his behavior. Okay, so but all these things are things that people can be trained on how to do, and a lot of times people don't tend to appreciate these things because they think, oh, you are making excuses that is not real. You are trying to force me to live a life that is not real. No, the real you is who you choose to be. This is why a lot of, you know, colored ethnic minority, colored people like myself, particularly here in the United Kingdom, go to prison, because over the years we have built this impression that the police, they don't like us, they get stopped because of one reason or the other, and all of those things. That's what we call batteries box. Yeah, the police approach to them, and then triggers the impression, particularly the things their parents have told them and the things they have witnessed with the police. Then they respond in a certain way to the police, and then they respond in a certain way to them. Then they get into trouble. So a lot of them that I have had opportunity to work with, the mindset, the things that have they have built, like what you're saying here now, you don't want to, you know, you want to present it raw. And that presentation of raw, that's what we call disruptive emotion. It causes other problems, yeah, which then escalates to other problems. Yeah, so, and if it's in a work setting, you will be, you have the way that we present you, right? There are some of these things we have seen over the years. There are some I don't like using such terms in a public space. There's this, what we call angry black woman stereotype. Yeah? And we see that sometimes we confirm those things if you are not aware of them. Yeah, you may not be happy with something, but then you don't need to, show it in an ad post. And sometimes, even when there's no need for it, I see people, you own a company and people are doing something you don't like in this company. You don't need to be, wild to correct it. No, you can say you are not happy about something. Like I was telling somebody, if you came to this organization and say, everybody close today and go home, nobody will challenge it. So why do you need to be shouting and being disruptive to, show that you are not happy with something, right? You could just make that decision and there and be calm still. Because one of the points here is that some of those outburst emotions, mood you put yourself, has some negative health impact also, in addition to the damage it causes in the relationships around you. The two sides to that statement, I only mentioned one side, Viktor Frankl's, but also there's the other concept, the second concept, which a lot of people are not aware of, that came from Japan. Viktor Frankl was an European view of how to react to situations or how to manage our emotions. But I want the opposite one so that people can see which one they fit into. If you are the one that can work on the side of, okay, I can train myself to manage my emotions, that's fine. Then there's the other concept, which I haven't shared, which is the side of let your emotions do what they need to do. You don't need to do anything about it. Just let it flow. But then there's some key thing that if you miss it, then you may miss the whole concept of it. So I want to touch on that maybe in another room so that people can have those balance and then see what fits for you, what works for you, so that we're not carried away by staying where we are and thinking it's okay because we say it's okay not to be okay.